Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And I've also got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Notice how my voice goes down. Venerable Tom Dorian. Because it turns into
sounds
sacred.
Sounds like
mode.
You're not as excited.
No. I'm sacred. I'm reverent. I am reverent.
We need to cue a heavenly chant choir for.
Yeah, I wish I had one of those little buttons. You know, all the really the well financed shows.
Yes.
All those podcasts and radio shows. They got little buttons, little dials in front of them. They can do
sound
all the
effects.
Yeah, we could put applause.
Yeah.
You know. There's all kind of things we could do. If only, please send your donations, your tax-deductible donations to the Catholic Cafe.
I vote the angelic choir.
I like the angelic choir. Every time we said Venerable Tom, you know what happened. I think that'd be beautiful. Well, look, you know, a lot of people don't realize what this is, but this is, it's the season. Mm. And a lot of people are like, what? Wait, what
season?
Right? Are we in ordinary time, right? Yeah, so it's ordinary time. Why is that the season? So I when I call it the season, what I mean is we are in the busyness of our lives. We're in all of the, as Bishop Stive used to say, the marketplaces of our lives. You know, and we're out there doing our business. We're out there just doing stuff.
Sounds like a soap opera.
We got our families, we got our work, and we've all worked in here, so we're at the tail end of summer. And one of the big things that happens, especially for families, is school time, right? School time starts. And so then there's this focus on all the school stuff and all the things that have to happen, going to Walmart or Target or whatever and getting the number 17 pencils or whatever special pencil that some, you know, whacked out, you know, kindergarten teacher said, you've got to have these crayons. You cannot have that color. You have to have these, you know, whatever. And they got all these lists and you're out there doing all that. You're registering people. There's just a lot going on with school, which means the family gets very busy. And this is literally the time when all this other stuff starts happening where people start, well, we took the summer off. And so now the choir is coming back to church. And so we need to start the choir practices. And so now we're also doing this and this is happening. And it's a lot of stuff going on, right? It's a busy, busy time of year. In fact, I would argue to say it's one of the more busy times when things start to kick back in because we've been in this sort of summer relaxing mode. We've taken some vacations. We've taken some time off. We've enjoyed the longer days, and we've gone to the park. There's all these things that we've done in the summer, and then we're sort of kicking back into work mode. I'll say it that way. So that's not the season I'm talking about. This is the season. But the season, what I'm talking about, is something that I think goes maybe unnoticed and even unheralded by many Catholics. And that's the beginning of the OCIA season. This is the season typically starting in the end, middle to end of August to the beginning of September is typically when most OCIA programs, so those who are seeking to come into full communion with the Catholic Church, those who are seeking conversion, right, who are seeking baptism, right? The catechumenate, and then also those candidates for full communion are all starting to gather at parishes. And you might have seen something in your local bulletin. You might have heard somebody say something about it. Perhaps the deacon who is running the RCIA program has preached about it. And said, if you know of anybody, et cetera, et cetera.
RCIA, it's OCIA.
That's right, exactly right. So this is me still living in the past. You know, things move slowly in the church.
There's been a lot of big changes since they switched from RCIA to OCIA. Like, they no longer allow the use of the rack or the Iron Maiden.
That's right, exactly.
Spanish Inquisition. So evangelization just got a lot harder.
It's a lot more difficult, you know. Yes, this the continuing conversion is more difficult. You can't use any form of electricity of any kind. You can't do anything like that. And then also now, but there are good things because they did add into OCIA. They added in a new pin the tail on the donkey game where you. And it's all done in Latin, so it's actually quite. It's actually quite cool. We're teasing about
you
all that.
You got some folks out there coming unhinged.
Yeah, no, don't y'all don't. We are so silly. And let me just apologize to everyone who's actually listening to this program and who's ever listened and who will listen. I'll apologize for our irreverence. We don't believe any of those things are good, and those are awful, terrible things. But the point is, there's a lot of people who really are seeking communion with God. There are people that are hungry. You can see it now in our society. You can see it especially in some of our younger folks who have this desire for reverence and the sacred, and they're looking for it in so many different ways. So many are exploring that in the liturgy. So many are exploring that just really in the teachings of the church, the doctrines. And it's really interesting that there's been a reawakening amongst our younger folks. And so this is an opportunity for us. Now, we all know that what was RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, has now become the OCIA in the sort of, they're retranslating all this material and they're converting, they're changing all of these. So there's like the order of baptism for children. There is the order of celebrating matrimony. Instead of the rite, they're changing the word rite. It's a more accurate rendering from the Latin. And so it's the order of Christian Initiation for Adults. Now that primarily is focused on those who are unbaptized, unchurched. That's what OCIA is about. That's what its focus is. If you buy the little book at your local Catholic bookstore to find out more about that particular order of Christian Initiation for Adults, if you look at that, like 90% of that book is focused on those who are going to be baptized. It's all the rites and the processes and all the things, all the words that are said, and then all of the rubrics that go with this this conversion to the faith, conversion to Christianity from an unbaptized state. But then there's the other 10%, which is those who are like the call to continuing conversion. So those who are candidates for full communion. And the church makes a point of stating that these are not converts to the faith. So if a person is Baptist and becomes Catholic, they're not a convert, right? And that's what the church wants to eliminate, that confusion. But at the end of the day, you've got people that are baptized and people that are unbaptized. And all of them come together in an OCIA program at a parish in order to learn more about the Catholic faith, to grow in a spiritual way, to seek out and find the community that God has sort of orchestrated and set apart, we call the church, to become into union with the church. And that's what happens over the year or so in the OCIA process. Now, still, the majority of people that show up to OCIA are people who are already baptized. That's the majority of people that show up. And so they tend to follow this path that happens, you know, end of August, beginning of September, when school starts. They start sort of Catholic school, and they go through in weekly meetings at the local parish, finding out more, praying together, seeking community, but then also just learning the doctrines, learning the dogmas, and having their questions answered, etc., so that they can discern properly the path, their call to become one with the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And then that usually culminates at the Easter Vigil. Now again, with those who are candidates for full communion, people who are already baptized, they don't really have to wait until the Easter Vigil to come into the church. They actually can come in early, earlier, when they're ready.
It's pastoral discretion, right, technically?
That's right. Now, sometimes I've always thought it was good for people to go through the whole process and come in at Easter. The Easter Vigil is so beautiful. I love the Easter Vigil. And so it's made so you can do that, right? But its original intent for OCIA was not that. It was that those would be people who are being baptized. So it's all designed for like having the baptism and having the confirmation and all that kind of stuff. But most people who are in the OCIA process are already baptized. So,
and a lot of them, they're on the path to marriage, you know, and they're about to marry a Catholic.
There are many different storied experiences that people have. Marriage to a Catholic spouse to be, a Catholic fiance, is one of the reasons, and it's fairly common. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the majority.
Oh, okay.
It was not the majority of those people. It really is people seeking to find meaning in their faith, I think. Tom, is it like at your parish, do you know like the numbers in terms of like how many people are just coming to the church because they're getting married?
No, I think the majority is just folks coming in. It's people like you said, they're just seeking.
Yeah, because nowadays it's really that. It's been my experience. Mm-hmm. But there are always, and when people say like, well, you know, isn't it wrong just because they want to be married, you know, or they want to be together in their marriage or whatever, isn't that wrong? Like, I always say the Lord works in mysterious ways. And if the Lord works through a relationship between fiancés, and that's how he's going to bring somebody into full communion and have them to realize the fullness of the Catholic Church, I think that's beautiful. I don't think that it's a bad thing if someone's saying like, well, I just, you know, we want to be the same faith, so I decided to become Catholic. I say, all right, we'll start there. Mm-hmm. That's where we'll start.
And I have met some couples, you know, where a guy, he was already hardcore Catholic, and he married a woman who was not, I don't think, even Christian. And she's an on-fire Catholic. She loves the faith. She's a wonderful Catholic woman, Catholic, you know, wife and mom, everything.
Turned into a church lady, probably.
Actually,
right?
Yeah, she ended up becoming a music director.
There you go. That's great. All that aside, I'm just trying to head off the emails before they start showing up. But anyway, the thing is, at the end of the day, here's the thing that's missing. What's missing is you, the listener. What's missing is you. And I say it that way, and this is not an accusatory tone. This is my realization for myself that it was also me for many, many years. When I was Catholic, when I discovered my faith, when I came back to my faith with vim and vigor and zeal, you know, and all these things where I was like excited to be Catholic, it turned out to be a personal experience for me. But then I didn't realize that I think then I was empowered by God to then to evangelize. And I think for so many people, that we just think like, look, if people want to be Catholic, they know where the door is, right? They know they know where the service button is on the counter. They'll press the little bell and they'll ring the bell and say, hey, I'd like to be Catholic. When in fact, I mean, Jesus set in place this entire process of what's called evangelization. And we're part of that God's plan of salvation. We are supposed to share the gospel to the four corners of the earth.
We're the front lines of the church militant.
That's what we're exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And so the question then becomes, if your RCIA, OCIA programs, I corrected myself mid-thought, it's going to take me a while to get there.
That's kind of your Leo and Francis thing.
That's exactly right. I've had a couple of priests say, Leo the Pope, you know, and there's been a fra at the beginning of it, like Fra Leo. Mm-hmm. But it's like so many of us who either came through OCIA or we know that our parishes have an OCIA program, we might look into it and go like, you know, there's only like 5 people that are coming in the church or whatever. And it's like, it's not very exciting. There's not a bunch of stuff going on. It's like, and then what I realized was like, what was I doing to increase that number? Did I actually invite somebody? Did I actually even propose to somebody that like, you know, have you thought about being Catholic? Mm-hmm. Oh, not me. And I realized I hadn't had a lot of conversations with people. And that's what really changed in my life a lot, was to start to talk about my faith, talk about my faith journey, which led me down this path to the diaconate. It led me down the path, well, to this radio show, mm-hmm. right? You know, this is the sum of my own personal experiences in discovery, self-discovery and discovery of God in the fullness and richness of the faith. And then just like saying like, well, it's not enough for me to hold it in and go like, oh, I feel so informed. I feel so blessed. It's like, if you are truly blessed, that's supposed to be turned around. It's kind of like love. You don't hold it. You share it. You spread it, right? And so that's exactly what we need to do. So this is really a call to the ordinary Catholics who may listen to EWTN, who are faithful listeners. They give money to the church. They're supporting the church. And they may be active in certain programs in the church and things like that. But the thing is, we also all are called to evangelize.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all of us here in the Catholic Cafe have been touched in a variety of ways by the Curcio movement. And you know, the saying of the Curcio movement, the motto of it is make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. And, you know, that is, regardless of whether somebody's been involved in Curcio, the truth of that motto should ring true to all of us, right? And to make a friend, be a friend, and bring a friend to Christ. And if we ask ourselves, oh, well, I'm not really sure how to bring a friend to Christ. Well, it's not all on you. We have programs like OCIA that can help. But the first step is make a friend and be a friend. And then within that context, if you're able to say, hey, you know, you and I have talked about faith sometimes. Would you be interested in learning more about the Catholic faith? Even if you feel completely ill-equipped to really discuss it, there are people who are equipped. And so sometimes it just requires the courage of making that invitation and making yourself available, you know, to that no. They might say no, but what if they say yes? Mm-hmm. What if they say yes? What would Michael Jordan say? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right. Exactly right. Can't win the lottery unless you buy a ticket, you know? I don't think he said that, though. But yeah, you're exactly right. And you don't, you know, and maybe you feel uncomfortable, like, I don't want to invite them to RCIA, OCIA specifically. You know, and the thing is, do you? Well, what if you just talk to them, like, I was telling, here's something that that our Venerable Tom would do. Tom will say things that I think are really brilliant, and I don't know if he's saying them because he just stumbled upon them or he's actually brilliant. I'm going to lean with the brilliant thing. But he'll say the things with people because he's actually done a really good job. And we had Char on the on the show, a wonderful lady who
phenomenal Catholic.
Just
phenomenal.
Absolutely. But it was that invitation. It was really just like just kind of befriending and kind of accompanying, walking alongside of her. That you were an incredible part of. But Tom is the kind of person that would say something like, you know what, you'd make a great Catholic. That just sounds like something he would say. Because and it's a great thing to say. And people sometimes you go like, you wait for their reaction. Sometimes it's visceral. Fun. Sometimes it's like, how dare you?
Right.
Are you, but then you're like, but wait a second, how can I say that? Because I think you actually meant that as a compliment.
Right. That's exactly right.
I must know of this church you speak of. Right. I must know more.
That's right.
You know, tell me more. And it's interesting. And so that's where, like in the Curcio motto, that's where this be a friend part is so, like you make a friend. Hey, how you doing? You know, shake hands. Hello, my name's such and such. And you are? And well, that's awesome. Then there's this be a friend part. And be a friend doesn't necessarily mean that your job now is to essentially start listing off the doctrines and the dogmas. Right, and the disciplines, and say this is what it is to be Catholic, and these are what this means. So you know, you can't do this halfway; it's all or nothing. And that may be true, but the reality is that's not how you make a friend.
Right,
that's not how you be a friend. And so, being a friend is one who's like first is that friendship, that connection, that relationship. That's something that all of us can do, every single one of us. And when you get comfortable in that relationship, either they are going to ask, like, I want to know more about your faith because you seem to be really at home in the Catholic Church. And I've always thought these things, and it'll lead to conversations that are born out of vulnerability, out of humility, out of trust, where you can talk to each other in a way that's not going to be superiority, like my job is to be victorious over you, that my job is to win. You know, that's not why you're talking to them. And if it comes across that way, like, in other words, you start there, you're not going to be a friend.
I heard an interesting episode of Pints with Aquinas where Matt Fred was talking about this exact issue, and he said, you know, we have a lot of us, we try to be hesitant and try to make it where if we're evangelizing somebody, we want to, you know, put up qualifiers, be like, no, I'm not trying to make, I don't, it's not that I like want you to become Catholic and stuff like that. And he's like, it comes off as really dishonest. And he's like, in his approaches with friends that he talks to, he's like, yeah, like, just to be clear, I believe this stuff. Like, I believe that the Catholic Church is the one true church. Like, I do. I want everybody to be Catholic because I think it's the truth. It's the source of all joy and goodness and beauty. So, yeah, do I want that for you? Yeah, but does that change our friendship if you choose not to be Catholic? No, I'm just glad to be your friend. And I thought,
but I'd be gladder. Don't say that.
But I thought that was an interesting point. Like, have that level of honesty, but don't let any of that interfere with the genuineness of your connection with that person and loving that person and being that person's friend. And I thought that was really well said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 100% true. I at the end of the day, we're so reluctant. We live in a society right now that's there's a lot of victims out there. There's a lot of triggering. There's a lot of things that happen that essentially where we're worried that we're going to offend and we're going to upset. And like I was just joking earlier in the show, there's words we can't say anymore because it triggers people. And so like, well, this must mean you used that word, and we're very cautious now. In fact, I think as Catholics, we're overly cautious. Mm-hmm. We're afraid that we're going to ruffle feathers if we bring up the Catholic Church, right, beyond a whisper. And the thing is, we should be shouting the truth and the faith from the mountaintops, not in an obnoxious way and not in a superior way. Not in a victorious way, but in a way, like you said, it's like, I love this, and I want other people to love it too. And so I want to tell you about it. It's an invitational way. You are inviting someone on a journey. You're inviting someone to go deeper. And you know your friends and your relationships better than anybody else. And so it's going to be a different story for every different friend and every different relationship that you have. Because at the end of the day, it's a very personal invitation. And so it has to be, like I said, it has to be born in vulnerability, humility, and trust, and openness, and this willingness to communicate in a way that's not threatening somebody, but also not saying, like, I have a secret and you don't have that. So that's why Gnosticism is bad, right? Secret knowledge. That's not what we're doing here. We're totally open, but at the same time, we're not always leading with the material, the content, because our job is not to make converts. Our job is to share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone that we encounter and everyone that we meet in whatever degree that we can, in whatever time that we have on this earth, or at the grocery store or at our place of work. But the reality is we do things in respect and reverence, and we do things in a way that's not going to be saying, like, look, if you don't do this, I don't get my reward if I don't make you Catholic, and that's my job. It's like, no, it's not your job, right? It's your joy, and it's your opportunity to share Christ's love. And that's why OCI season, that's why when we start this season again, we just need to bring this to the fore and be thinking like this. It's not a hidden agenda. It's not a secret agenda. This is obviously something that when we do it in a way where we're going to do things in love. We are called in love to be love to everyone that we encounter. And so that's why I think that a lot of times people are reluctant, right? Because they misunderstand what RCI, OCI is. They misunderstand what this process is. They misunderstand it as like, well, y'all are proselytizing, right? You're just trying to win converts. You're trying to win members. Mm-hmm. You're trying to have the biggest team. It's like, no, we already got the biggest team. Mm-hmm. And we don't go around saying we got the biggest team. I mean, we really don't go around saying, we're the largest Christian denomination, because we're not a denomination.
Yeah.
Because we are Christianity. Mm-hmm. Right? This is where it all came from. And a lot of people... they don't pay attention to some of the things like the hallmarks of the church, the four marks of the church. We are one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And those are vitally important. And the first part of that, the first mark is one. We are one. We're called to be one. There's so many beautiful scriptures that help us to see that division is not good. Mm-hmm. St. Paul warned about division. I mean, but ultimately, I love this from, this is... from the Gospel of John, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. This is Jesus speaking, and that they may be one even as we are one. This is Jesus praying to his Father. I am one with you, Father. Father, you are one with me, and I pray that they may be one. Right? He says that they may become perfectly one so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Excuse me. So that's this idea that Jesus calls us to be one. St. Paul even goes into details in Romans and 1 Corinthians and Titus and Romans again, where he's talking about the problems of division, separation within the brotherhood, within Christianity. It's like, we don't want that. It's mm-hmm. bad. There is one. There's one church. And like you said, Sam, you said it so well. I believe in that one church, but I don't walk around with my finger in the air going like, we're number one. it's not a sports game.
Right.
It's an opportunity for people to love in the most full way in which God has revealed us. I've looked and I've come to the conclusion that it's the Catholic Church. This is the fullness of God's revelation. This is what God intends everyone to be. And I want to help people along that path, not by saying in superlatives, we're the best, you should join our team. It's not that at all. It's like, look, let me tell you about something that I know to be true. And if you value me as a friend, if you trust me, then at least listen to this invitation. Mm-hmm. Hear these words. Go deeper. Just study this with me or look at this with me. Or if you have any questions, ask me, and maybe that's enough. And then when they have questions, because they'll hear things. I mean, everybody's on Facebook doing the little reels and all that kind of stuff. We're seeing these little clips of things all over the place. So people, this is coming into the fore, and people are starting to see this. And I think we're going to see sort of a rebirth of enthusiasm for spiritual conversion coming up. And we need to be part of that. As Catholics, we need to be part of that. Do you know what's beautiful about all this? We are alive, and we are part of God's active and divinely willful plan of salvation. We need to get with the program. Let's be active in inviting people. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.